Well, the devices, they vaporize what's called an e-liquid that contains pharmaceutical-grade nicotine, and it delivers the nicotine through inhalation.
Is this the equivalent of smoking tobacco? Is it an alternative? How do you define it?
Specifically, it's an alternative.
It's an alternative. Okay. Why would someone use e-cigarettes as opposed to tobacco cigarettes?
I think that they would use this for a pretty simple reason. They're trying to get away from the toxins and the chemicals that are associated with cigarettes.
But there's still nicotine.
Correct. There is still nicotine.
Okay. And in terms of maybe you buy, I guess this device here is that what you use to inhale and then you attach the, I mean, basically how does that work?
There's a lot of different devices. They're all powered by batteries. Most primarily lithium-ion batteries or something of that sort. And these batteries, they go to what's called an atomizer where it actually vaporizes the liquid nicotine.
Is it necessarily less expensive than cigarette smoking, or does it really depend on what you're buying?
It's quite a bit inexpensive based on the average user, yes.
It is, okay.
Yes.
Just for my own curiosity, how much would a device like this cost, or, you know, one of the electronic battery-powered charger, and then the liquid nicotine, how much is that?
You have devices that run anywhere from $30 up to a few hundred dollars. It really depends on the level of quality that you're looking for and the level of performance that you're really looking after.
Now, I'm looking down here in this case. I see liquid nicotine, but I also see various flavors. It's flavored. I see Snickerdoodle. I see
tobacco flavors. You see bakery flavors, coffee flavors, fruit flavors, menthol flavors. I mean, you have a whole host of flavors available.
Gotcha. And the Attorney General wrote a letter today, and among his concerns is that this is becoming, because you may, and not necessarily you, but others who sell e-cigarettes might sell, especially the nicotine vials, in flavors that might be attractive to kids. Like bubblegum, or I think of the list here, I think Snickerdoodle may be the only one that may be attractive to kids. What did you say in response to that?
I would handle this question the same way that I would handle the fact that you can buy vodka in 15 or 16 different flavors. The flavors aren't designed to attract children. The flavors are designed to attract the palates of the people that are using them. See, when you switch away from a lifelong habit of smoking, and then you have the opportunity to deliver the nicotine in a method that we know is much safer than smoking cigarettes. You're using flavors that attract the user, and that and the end result of that is keeping them away from the cigarettes, which have been holding them captive for anywhere between years to decades.
One of the things I noticed at the hearing last month on the bill to apply e-cigarettes to the indoor smoking bill is I talked to a woman who was suffering from breast cancer, and she was using e-cigarettes and did to ultimately quit. She had been a tobacco smoker. She used this as a quitting device. Is that a common – do you hear people doing that?
Can you repeat that question?
Well, she said that this was a safer method of getting nicotine, but this enabled her to help quit. Have you heard stories like that?
Is
that?
Sure. I mean, that's the common consensus, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me, what is the biggest misconception that people have about e-cigarettes, those who are trying to impose, particularly those who are trying to impose further regulations?
I'd rather not answer that question.
Okay.
For particular reasons. This industry is involved with a lot more than just using kids as examples and all that. I mean, you're talking about billion-dollar organizations such as the FDA, such as Big Tobacco and Big Pharmacy, who have various levels of lobby skills and control over the financial situation of this country. So
there's a hidden agenda here besides regulation. They're trying
without giving you a confirmed answer. That's the general direction.
I understand. Now, in Maryland, you can't sell to anybody under 18 anyway, right? Just as you can't tobacco. Is that correct? Is that my understanding of the state law?
Yes, that's correct. But where we've always stood since the day we opened this facility is that we never have served anybody under the age of 18. If you weren't old enough to smoke, we consider that you weren't old enough to use this product. So it was really kind of clear and simple for us.
you obviously card people. I
mean, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, who is the typical e-cigarette user, just, I mean, demographically?
It's the same typical smoker. It's the person that smokes cigarettes. It could be anywhere between 18 and 7,500 years old. I mean, people that have been smoking for a long period of time are people that they generally want to get away with it. Prior to this product, there was very little that offered that kind of success.
You're not particularly thrilled with the FDA's actions, their willingness to try to regulate this and everything.
No, I would not say that at all. I'm actually a big proponent of regulation. I believe that there needs to be some level of regulation for things not to get out of control. This industry has lived in for the last several years in a Wild West kind of environment. So when looking at it like that, yes, I mean, there should be regulations. There should be safety. There should be things put into place to make sure and assure that the products that we have a high integrity level. I can say that, again, from day one, that's something I've always been a big advocate of. And it's one of the reasons why we carry some of the highest level products that you can purchase in the state.
You heard about the bill. I'll ask that question again. What do you think of the effort to try to regulate e-cigarettes to be make them similar to tobacco cigarettes in terms of where you could use them?
I think there's several ways that you can answer the question like that. Again, I'll go back to what I just said. I do believe that there should be regulation. There should be protocols and processes that need to be overwatched. But to say that a product that has anywhere between 400 and 1,000 times less bad stuff inside of it, but to be regulated at the same level of another product that we know causes severe damage, death, cancer, and so on, it seems a bit, it could be conceived as a bit excessive. But until we have more studies that reveal more information, you know, confirmed information, then we're just going to have to wait and see how that kind of all pans out.
I'm going to ask you the question I asked before again, just to make sure, because we had a little technical glitch. I'm going to make sure that I get this answer. The Attorney General's letter today, in which he sends the letter to the manufacturers of e-cigarettes, what are you going to do to stop marketing to kids, stop, you know, having flavors like bubblegum? I think the only flavor you have that might appeal to a child is snickerdoodle, but that's what do you say to, you know, when the Attorney General is asking these companies to stop marketing to kids, that they market to kids, what do you say to that?
Well, I'll answer it very simply. We don't market to kids.
And you you don't. A teenager comes in here, he has to show ID. If they're they're over 18, they can buy it. If they're not, they're gone.
Absolutely correct. Yes, if you don't have ID and you're not 18 years of age, then you're not purchasing a single product out of the store.
Okay. I think that's it. Anything else you want to add?
No, not at this time.
All right, great. I'm glad you...